Classy ring attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Yeah.
Fancy schmancy.
At least try to. Because Lord knows, you know, wrestling really didn't do that for us.
Oh, man.
It was an easy job for us this week.
No, but something big happened on Monday. Something really amazing that we have to talk about.
Okay.
Off the bat, Big E got the microphone.
Right.
I'm so excited.
Big E spoke, and it was... not the best of lines. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I just remember, should have saved this moment for something better to say.
So, Big E went from super intimidating to kind of adorable. Which I don't think you want in your, like, enforcer character.
But, I mean, you're going to have that element when you're, you know, you're best friends with AJ. And you're essentially AJ's big teddy bear.
But... oh, man, that was entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Just a side note to that, I follow him and AJ on Twitter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said something like, they're doing an NXT show, and he said, yeah, me, Ziggler, AJ, we're all going to be there, you know, body fluids will flow. And she's like, damn it, Big E, that's why you're not allowed to talk. I was like, this is adorable.
And then on main event, he talked again. And so he...
oh, really?
Yeah.
Now we just can't shut him.
Josh Matthews was trying to interview Ziggler on the way to whatever match Ziggler was going to. And Big E interrupted. Hey, you trying to get all 2020 on me? Is that it? Is that what you're doing here, Dateline? And then he turned around to, like, Ziggler, for Ziggler and AJ to approve of his, you know, promo. And he goes, eh?
Please tell me Ziggler deadpanned him.
Ziggler went... this guy's all right. You're doing pretty good. I like this guy. Yeah, we're okay, man.
Oh, God.
I have to say...
get him to shut up now.
I really would be okay if they started pushing this, like, adorable tries to be a tough guy, but not 100% there yet character.
As far as, like, you know, the way he talks.
Yeah, no, yeah. He needs to be solid in the ring.
Right. In the ring, yeah, he's already there.
Yeah.
But in the ring, or on the mic, he just doesn't quite seem to be the same.
No. But he's been so entertaining. It's so
good.
Unexpected.
I don't know. I kind of dig Big E. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, immediate fantasy booking everywhere was putting Big E against Ryback at WrestleMania.
Well, that's just because everyone kept calling him Ryback.
I know. But, you know, he will have to get more serious face.
Yeah.
If he wants it. Especially if Ryback maintains, like, a third of the momentum he has right now.
Right, which, I mean, we're all assuming his momentum's going to take a bit of a hit going into Mania just because we have all these bigger names coming back. So, I could still see it happening. They would probably need to go ahead and get on that. Ziggler would have to essentially move on to the heavyweight championship picture, you know, and then Cena's like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now, so Big E kind of moves on to Ryback.
Yeah, there's nothing for Cena to do right now.
There really isn't, other than this whole Ziggler thing, which we kind of want to go ahead and end.
Yeah.
This has been happening since before TLC.
Yeah.
And it just kept going.
And even though I'm really digging this whole trifecta with Ziggler and AJ and Big E...
right.
It's still, because Cena's there, it still has kind of, like, this bitter taste from Cena and AJ.
Right, because it's been going on for, like, 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we have new elements now, but at the core, because they're all equal.
Because they're all equal, yeah, I was like, ah.
It's just the way I said the core, I just totally Michael Cole it. Because at the heart of the issue, it's still the same main characters, you know, Vicky's not in it anymore. But you still have Ziggler and Cena with, now AJ's in the background. It used to be, you know, AJ and Cena with Ziggler in the background kind of thing, but...
yeah. So, but... anyway.
Ziggler seems happier. He doesn't seem to be having all those feels anymore. I'm glad for that.
I do like Ziggler. I just want him to be happy. Well, Here's the thing, and I want to, I did it in my article this week, but I really want to look at this feud compared to the other super feud from Monday, which...
You're obviously talking about Big Show and Del Rio, right?
Was that even on Monday? I'm not 100% if I remember that happening Monday.
I just know, well, no, Big Show knocked out Kofi in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right before the last promo.
Yeah, that kind of...
That
yeah.
was literally, from what I understand, that was like the segment in between the TLC match and the promo.
That rings the vaguest of bells.
Right. I've only watched the show, you know, twice. So I'm not sure.
But yeah. So first of all, if we were to give out classies for 2013 right now,
mm-hmm.
I think everything would go to CM Punk. I think promo of the year, CM Punk. Match of the year, CM Punk. Superstar of the year, CM Punk.
I don't know. Ziggler did have a pretty good match against Cena.
Ziggler had a good match against Cena, but it ended with Cena kicking out of various, like, three different Ziggler finishers.
And one Biggie.
And Biggie finisher. Which just makes Biggie look weak at a time that he still needs to be super intimidating.
Yes.
And does nothing for Ziggler. And does nothing for Cena.
No.
And like, yeah, Ziggler was standard beautiful throughout the whole match. And
right.
Cena did bring at least his A-minus game. You know,
yeah, sure.
Cena did his usual, if the guy he's working with is good, Cena is good.
Right. And just one more note on Big E, and I've probably said this many times, but what I'm really hoping for with the storyline, because, you know, every time Ziggler's in a match, Big E's just posted, you know, on the apron. What I really would want, I don't really think anyone's talking about this, at least not on air, using Big E as just kind of a bodyguard type that, you know, because Ziggler's had all these times where he's tried to cash in the Money in the Bank, but someone's always interfered.
Yeah.
Somebody out on the outside. Maybe this is his final, like, I finally have someone that can kind of deter that, so use
and that's
that.
How he
and
uses
just have
it.
Him posted at the bottom of the ramp, be like, you know, come get him.
Yeah. Okay, I could see that.
But they're not really playing that up.
No.
Now, unless, watch him use that idea whenever that actually happens. And then I'll expect my royalty checks in the mail.
I mean, if I wasn't so pleased with how the tag team division is doing right now,
mm-hmm.
I would be really interested in Team Friendship versus those two guys. Because you got a small, jumpy, round guy.
Yeah.
And a big... Not like as a full feud. And that might be a nice filler match on Raw.
Right. Oh, yeah,
two weeks down the line.
Yeah, we can definitely get a match on Raw or something, but... To them, I really don't want to see Ziggler really pursuing anything other than a main championship at this point.
Yeah.
Because everything else just seems like it would be just a step down for him.
Yeah. Waste of time.
Right. And I mean, to be honest with you, I initially felt like that with Cody getting involved in the tag team championship, but, you know,
it's
just...
It's Road Scholar.
Road Scholar is just so fun
it's
to watch, so never mind.
So, but yeah.
Holy crap, hold on. Did Road Scholars pretty cleanly beat Team Friendship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that they're toying with breaking up Team Friendship. Because...
True. But the only reason that they would think about doing that is because of them being so high on Road Scholars. Wanting to push them to the top. Alright, let's be honest. Friendship has had a great run, but it's gotten a little... But it's kind of stalled a little bit lately.
No, shut your face. No.
What? Okay, what have they done? Okay, yeah, they're going to have a...
They said Dr. Shelby's
okay,
coming back.
Fine. Maybe
and that might mean Harold comes back.
Maybe that means they'll get a nice shot in the arm and they can last until Mania. Okay? How's that?
Harold might come back.
Probably not because I think they deactivated his Twitter account because he said some anti-gay slur.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was a developmental talent.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry.
I don't know if they deactivated or they let him go. I don't remember. But I know that there was some issue. He had said something he shouldn't have on Twitter, and they're like, no, Harold, stop it. Shut up, Harold.
I think pushing Twitter has been a bigger pain for WWE than it has benefited them.
I mean, well, to be honest with you, like, not really anyone's gotten in trouble for it. The only ones I could think of was Harold and Michael Cole.
Michael Cole got in trouble. Unstoppable, what's his real name?
Well, no, he didn't get out. He didn't get on troll on Twitter.
He got in additional trouble for tweeting
right.
about.
He was already on. He put himself into hot water just because of the rape joke.
Yeah, but then they threw
and then
in
he
the,
did the
Linda McMahon
stuff
thing.
On Twitter that didn't help him any.
Yeah, and it's tout, not Twitter, but Tensai got in trouble for doing a tout a while back.
Oh yes, poor Tensai. What is he still with the company? Yes. Is he still doing as terrible as he was then? Yes.
I don't know. Before that tout, he was, you know,
the only
main event matches. After that tout, he's pratfalling for 16
years. He was not winning main event matches at that point. He had already been on the downfall at that point.
I don't know. Wasn't that in
May? It wasn't that far back.
I don't know. I don't have a timeline of.
All I know is it was like, right, it seemed like a month or so after they started doing away with his sidekick.
Yeah.
So if anyone got punished, it was him, the guy that didn't say anything in the car.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just now that you know, now that they are promoting it, it's a lot more on the company if something is said.
But one thing I do like that tout's kind of mellowed out lately.
Yeah.
They haven't really talked about it. They've just been, their newest toy's been this WWE app, which I tried out for the first time this past Monday. Actually, was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? I, like, the one time I, like, you know, desperately wanted to see what was on there was whenever they cut away from the Punk promo. But really, all he did, he got a chair and put it in the middle of the ring and sat there. And, like, act like he was going to talk and then just kind of gave up. And then they cut back to USA.
Okay.
I felt like it was my duty, like, as I was doing that. I was, like, posting updates on Twitter of what was happening for people who didn't have it.
For dating. So we know exactly what was
going on. No one expressed their feelings on how much I saved their life for doing that, but I'm assuming I did.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Because I save lives on Twitter.
Let's talk about this Punk promo.
Okay. Let's talk about it in two chunks. Okay. Let's talk about the first bit, which it was pretty much just Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was a very good companion piece to the Las Vegas promo.
The fourth wall?
Right.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a very good progression from that.
I feel like, yeah, I think it was kind of on the same level as that one.
Mm-hmm.
In a way where, you know, if Punk's future with the company was not in question,
right,
that would have been the
promo.
Now,
I will say this.
He did a lot more, like, trying to get boos in this one.
Right.
And I don't think I'm ever going to boo Punk.
No, probably not. And this one thing I've noticed about Punk lately, like, his promos over the past month or so have been really good.
Yeah.
The one where he was, you know, yelling at Ric Flair was really good. And again, it was one of those things where, like, okay, Punk's getting boos for bringing up, like, actual real-life points.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was good. Like, and again, I always roll my eyes for the cheap pop, either heel or
unless
it's Mick Foley.
There you go. There you go.
Because stuff like that's more on the nose. Like,
yeah,
you know, he knows it's a cheap pop and he's going for it anyway. Yet still kind of like tongue in cheek, kind of smiles. But these are just like you're being completely serious to be like, oh, this place is a dump kind of thing. I hate stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
I hate the finally Rock comes back.
Oh, you don't like finally?
Because it's the same thing.
I like finally.
Okay.
I mean, I don't love finally.
That's the one thing on the Rock catchphrase bingo card that you actually like.
No, I like all the Rock catchphrases.
It's just, I don't know.
Trailblazing, eyebrow raising, the rhyming.
I hated whenever you're trying to have like a somewhat organic type promo, like they were like,
yeah,
Punk was trying
I will say,
then he forces his catchphrases into the promo when they're just sitting there trying to have a serious, like, well, mm-hmm. Punk was trying to have a serious promo.
Right? I'm happy to throw time and place timing,
right.
And the Rock's biggest problem, because I think he did a really good promo on Monday, but his biggest problem was timing,
right.
I think the Cookie Puss thing
was so stupid.
He's trying to recreate Fruity Pebbles. That's like my only logical conclusion
as to why. And you know, he wanted to make the ice cream connection.
Yeah.
And it just it doesn't
it,
fit.
It felt
also
the, so
the crackhead Popeye. I was like, okay, what are you getting at? Like,
it was okay, and
I'm like, to his credit, he got a little bit more serious as the promo went on. Except for that dumb, I didn't like the tattoo thing at the end either.
I didn't like tattoo
that.
And I would not have minded. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not have minded saying candy ass. Like, you know, just as, you know, he's gonna do it, because that's what he does.
Right.
But to do the really long explanation.
Tattoo.
With the tattoo and listing multiple candies. Yeah, no.
Oh, and you don't have any nuts. Ha! Testicle humor! It's 1998 all over again! Hooray! Like, I'm sorry.
And the problem, the real problem is, it was two different promos.
Right.
It was the Rock Has Come Back promo, which is going to be slam full of catchphrases, really
as
funny,
right,
really
right.
entertaining.
As it always is, yes.
And you, but at the same time, you mashed it with the It's Time to Get Serious. Because, you know, the one thing about his year-long feud with Cena, you had that amazing, amazing return promo.
Right.
That was like 20 minutes. Fantastic.
But he was also by
through.
Himself.
Yes. He was also by himself. He also hadn't been here in 7 years.
He hadn't been there in 7 years, and they really weren't building him towards any kind of match.
Right.
But
then you go a year later, all of his, save for the musical things, all the promos were really serious.
Right.
And really focused.
All of the live face-to-face promos.
Yes. And those final, like, 2 to 3 weeks.
Right. Right. Okay, now here's what I would have rather seen. Like, as much as I did love Punk's promo, I would have rather have seen them cut two different promos, not been in the same ring at the same time. If that's the direction that Rock was going to go, more the comedic route, I would have rather him have done that on his own, Punk backstage, whatever, and then they could address it the next week, and that there's your two promos face-to-face right there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, I don't know, they'll get a little bit more serious, or at least the Rock side of things get a little bit more serious for Royal Rumble, you know. And I, as people read on Twitter, I was pretty pissed off about this promo when watching it live. I've calmed down. Yeah, this is me calmed down.
No, I know.
I've calmed down about it since, you know, just because it's the first promo. There's 2 more weeks, or 2 more Monday Night Raws, and you know we'll just see where it goes from there.
I mean, it's a thing where they have said, and there's been stuff about saying, like, we are on the road to WrestleMania. Every Raw is important now.
Right.
You know, every Raw is going to be overpacked. Maybe
right.
something is planned in the next 2 weeks where they had to get face-to-face this Monday.
Right.
Because there's
and
not
if,
time.
And if that's the case, then, you know,
it's worth it in the long run.
Right. All right. I'll gladly come back on here and be like, you know what? I was wrong, you know, how many weeks ago that I said that.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you know, Rock has already gone on the record with, like, interviews and saying that, you know, he's really impressed with the 4 months of television that they have planned, which means I was like, okay, so Rock's going to be pretty frequent on Raw for the next 4 months?
Because he's going to be champion.
Right. Well,
because he's going to be champion.
Right. But I wasn't expecting him to be on Raw every week, you know? Because, I mean, even with Punk as champion, he's on Raw, but he doesn't really, like, do anything other than talk, whatever, especially whenever he was injured.
Yeah.
You know? But even when he wasn't, whenever, you know, they were trying to, I guess when he was kind of injured but wasn't really, you know, they weren't playing it up, he didn't really do a whole lot in the ring on Raw and just came out and really talked. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, we do know that Rock's at Elimination Chamber.
Right, because we saw the poster.
Yeah, and obviously at Mania, so.
You know what? No, I think he's just going to be like, you know what? I'll take this one easy, guys. You don't need me for Mania.
No Mania?
Nah, I'll just.
Maybe just one commentary appearance from The Rock?
I'll be a satellite.
I'll be a satellite.
It's like, I like WrestleMania, you know, but it's in New York. It's too cold. I'm staying in Miami. Miami was a lot warmer, not a lot nicer, so.
Yeah. I'm so concerned about you.
Dude, like,
it's gonna be cold.
And it's just, some glass cutting nipple action.
I know, it's Diamond Dallas is going to come back for the diamond cutter. Just because it's going to be cold enough for it.
Yeah.
But here's what I really wanted to point out. We have Rock and Rock and Punk. I'm using as my example as good building.
Okay.
Because Rock goes on, you know, CM Punk goes on with, you know, I have defeated this person, I defeated that person, all your heroes, and he lists off
right.
a bunch of people. And then he talks about, and your greatest hero of all, The Rock who has accomplished all this, and now I will defeat him. Which, you know, look more eloquently and more Punk-like, but long story short, The Rock is good, but I'm better.
Right.
Then The Rock comes out, is impressed by the year-long championship, talks about, you took me out at Raw 1000, and it hurt, and you're good at that, but your days are numbered. Basically, you're good, I'm better. And so that's the kind of match where it's like, you know, this build-up of the opponent and how defeating the opponent will be a great
right.
mark on your career. Whereas you go back to Cena and Ziggler, where Cena's talking about Ziggler's never amounted to anything, here's how Ziggler's failed 800 times, he's worthless as a wrestler, blah-de-blah. Blah.
And he laughs at AJ dick joke.
Right. And Ziggler comes out with Cena's fast on his way to being has-been, you know, no longer has what it takes, needs to make way for... So
he gets crapped up on him.
So you have, yes, so you have, you know, if Cena wins, shouldn't be a big deal because Ziggler was terrible to begin with.
Right.
If Ziggler wins, shouldn't be a big deal because Cena's now terrible and a shadow of what he once was.
Right.
So, build-up-wise, I don't like saying bad things about Ziggler. It hurts me on the inside.
Yes.
But he's part of this build-up of how I'm not caring about this match.
Right, just because... What they've done this entire time leading up to these matches that they've had is they've just downplayed each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing, you're saying, you know, we're tired of it, it's taken too long, but there have been feuds that have lasted longer that I've cared about still.
Right. When, you know, both men pretty much acknowledge that they're in for the, you know, hyperbolic fight of their life.
Yeah. See, Punk and Daniel Bryan?
Right.
It's too short.
Yeah.
It lasted the, quote, maximum three pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone twice as long.
Yeah, we would have been okay
with
it.
It still would have been invested in it. Because every time, and part of it was the matches, every time it still felt like it was anybody's ballgame.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
And here's the thing. We've all, you know, we're all saying Brock's going to win. And Brock's going to carry the championship to Mania.
That's the assumption, yes.
But just based on CM Punk's promo... It still feels like anybody's ballgame.
Right. And again, like, it's one of those things where we, you know, we pretty much make these assumptions just on their past booking.
Yeah.
Every now and then, WWE's like, ha, you thought one thing, we're going to do something different, which might be a lot dumber, but it'll be not anything that you thought.
Well.
But I'm thinking, like, the only way that they're going to let Punk get away with
the championship
at Royal Rumble is doing something...
Shady, underhanded,
and
shielded.
Escaping, and shieldish.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that they're going to have to address that at some point before Rumble. If they don't, then if they don't address the Shield and Punk and Rock at any moment before then we'll probably see a Shield running.
Yeah. Well,
and then we'll see the Rock destroy all three of them.
Yeah. Well,
it's the Rock.
You have, you know. You have this other kind of unaddressed storyline with Shield versus Ryback, where, you know, that's another, like, that handicap match could go somewhere on some card.
Right, well, even though we've already seen it on Raw.
Yeah.
Or we were supposed to see it. I forget what actually happened.
But...
Holidays were a really long period for me.
Well, this is the first Raw that really... Because the past two have been...
Horrible.
They've been horrible.
They've been taped,
which means that we knew nothing important was going to happen, because if it was...
Right.
Speaking of which, because SmackDown gets taped, SmackDown got spoiled. Like, this is a great example right here now.
Right.
The flaw of taping in advance.
Unless this is their way of being like, hey, stuff does happen. You want to watch SmackDown now? I'm like, well, no, because you just told me what happened, so why would I want to watch it?
I'll probably watch it.
I mean, I'll probably watch it still, but, you know, illegally online, not, you know, not giving them any kind of ratings.
I mean...
And I don't have Hulu Plus.
That's the thing, is, I just... That's really, that's what really gave TNA a shot in the arm, was the going live weekly.
Yeah. How has that worked out for him?
Better.
It's okay.
I mean, they're really catering toward Jeff Hardy right now, because I think his contract might be close to being up, so...
Yeah.
I
think, to be honest with you, and this is coming from someone who really doesn't watch TNA, and I haven't really kept up with anything Jeff Hardy's done lately, but I have a feeling he's going to be back.
WWE?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that he's appeared to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
Or at least on the surface, he looks like he's cleaned up. And as big as he was when he left, he was huge.
Yeah, man.
He was, like... it's hard to explain. Like, he was not quite at the top level guy, but he was really, really close. He was super close, and just the fans were going crazy about him. And it felt like, you know, because he's been in the company forever.
Yeah.
You know, and he always got a decent reaction from the crowd, but it just did not feel anything like how that was before he left. Like, I want to say about 6 months before he started the whole thing with CM Punk before he left.
Yeah, no,
like right when he started running into all of his troubles,
yeah.
And all of his issues and stuff.
Yeah, no, it was big. I am liking the Aces of Eights things right now, and I like it kind of because they, you know, they're unmasking one by one, and there's a little bit of like,
how many?
It's somebody I like.
How many have they unmasked? I know they did Devon.
Luke Gallows is one,
right?
And he's something. He's Doc now.
Ooh.
Director of Chaos, and DOC stands for something, but yeah. But I was like, it's Luke Gallows! And like, I didn't like him that much. I didn't hate him, but I didn't really care for him
when
he was part of Straight Edge.
Right.
But because CM Punk has spoken so highly of him,
on
Art of Wrestling and then on the DVD and stuff, like, I like Luke Gallows now more because CM Punk likes him. So now
we're such lemmings for CM Punk.
Absolutely. And so now I'm like, yay, Luke Gallows.
You like, CM Punk likes you, so I like you by context. Hooray.
I've heard rumblings that Masters might be one of them in the near future.
But he hasn't actually been one of the guys that's come out.
Not that I know of.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't have a super, you know, identifiable style or anything, so...
Speaking of random signings, this is something I just found out today. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see that, yeah.
WWE has signed El Generico.
Yeah.
I know he has a huge following in Ring of Honor. Independent people love him. I've seen a few of his stuff, and it's pretty fun. I like him. But I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
He felt like he was going to be one of those guys who's going to be an indie guy for a long time. I don't know if he's going to keep the same gimmick, you know.
Well, he's masked, isn't he?
He's been masked for a while.
Like, I mean, it's, you know, I'm wondering if Sin Cara not being the Insta superstar that they wanted him to be, if they're still looking for...
They're going to go with a white kid from, I think he was from, like, Midwest, wearing a mask. Call himself El Generico.
I don't know.
They're going to go with him. How pissed would guys like Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, and Del Rio, how pissed would those guys be? And Unico.
Yeah. I don't know.
It would be hilarious, and I would love every second of it.
I mean, I could almost see just because of bad, you know, Vince stories.
Right.
Vince being like, you know... This mask guy isn't working. Give me another mask guy. And,
right.
Like, nobody ever bothering to check into the background of this other popular mask guy.
Yeah. Right.
You could almost see that. You could definitely see it from Cranky Vince. Depending on how accurate Cranky Vince is to actual Vince.
Yeah.
It's a thing where, you know, I don't know... I have no idea what they're going to do with him. And
no, it could be, and I mean, and he's probably gonna be in development for a while. I mean, they'll him, but you know, it's gonna have to be fun with in NXT if they have El Generico working in with Chris Hero. Now he's going as Cassius. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that would be fun to see those two guys, you know, back at it.
Yeah. So let's move on to SmackDown and the super secret. If you really don't want SmackDown to be spoiled for you,
okay, so five people have just cut off the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. That's five loyalist SmackDowns. Well, here's the thing. Rock's on SmackDown this week, isn't he?
He is on SmackDown, so they were trying to build up pretty big.
Yeah.
Was this week their, 700th episode, or was that next week for SmackDown?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I,
if it is, they really didn't talk about it.
Yeah, they barely
talked about the 20th anniversary of Raw next week.
I know.
They really didn't touch on it until about last week.
I guess they were putting all their eggs in the 1,000 basket.
Right, right. And it just seemed like that was just yesterday.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I was expecting a much bigger deal.
They might. I don't know. They might make a bigger deal on 25. I think.
Yeah. So, and they might make a bigger deal next week. You know.
They might. Oh, yeah.
Some stuff might happen.
They might be playing it down now. And next then we go there, and it's like, oh, it's the best 3-hour episode of Raw ever. Probably.
Here's hoping. But anyway, Del Rio is now your United States... Nope, your World Heavyweight Champion.
There we go. he's now your WHC, and hooray, I guess. I mean, if you think about it, if they didn't do this, then, you know, we had every single belt be owned by a heel.
Not the tag team.
Except for the tag team belt. Other than that, whatever.
Cesaro and
Wade Barrett,
that's right.
Yep. CM Punk and then Big Show.
Yep.
But now we have a guy who's a very recent face.
Yeah.
And it's just, it just feels weird.
It does feel a little weird.
Because he hasn't really done anything, face-wise.
Other than just start
being nice to Ricardo, which you would think on paper should do the trick as over as Ricardo is.
Yeah. I mean, he so wasn't working where he was. So I'm open to anything.
Yeah, me too.
Slap any, belt on him, give him a turn.
Anything that's different from what he was doing, I'm okay with. So, fine.
Yeah.
You know, we can give it a shot, but they really haven't done much to thoroughly convince everyone that he's a face now.
I'm largely okay with, I'm assuming there'll be a Big Show Del Rio rematch at the Rumble.
Right.
Which I'm largely okay with.
Yeah,
I think that'll be a fine match.
Yeah, I'm too.
I really don't want a Ziggler Del Rio feud, though. Like, that, the idea of that just kind of bums me out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like I'm against it. I don't really care.
Nothing about that. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe it's because Del Rio is so recently a face that it still kind of feels like. And Ziggler's 90% face anyway, despite what they want.
Right.
So it feels like two guys were kind of caught in that middle area. Fighting. It feels a little muddled.
What do you think the odds are of Ziggler cashing in at Rumble?
Well, here's the thing. The question I wanted to ask you for this week was, what would you do to make the cash in unique or unexpected? Because we had, the first cash in when Edge did it, when he did it right on a beaten champion.
At Elimination. Oh, it wasn't the Elimination Chamber at that point. It was something at the New Year's.
Yeah. January, yeah.
So
that was an unexpected, oh, they can do that. And then, Kane cashed in the same night, so that was an unexpected. So
it was something that, they always talk about, it could happen, but no one actually did.
Yeah. So what would you do? What can you do? Would you do with the Money in the Bank title to make it an unexpected?
To be honest with you, I would have them stop overthinking it and just have it happen. Because it just seems like that's what they're doing. Like, they're just We saw that with, like, whenever he kept trying to cash it in, something kept happening. And
I don't like that.
I just feel like they're overthinking it.
I don't like the three false starts that happen before every cash in.
Right.
That always feels a little weird. I would be really interested to see Ziggler cash it in the middle of the Rumble.
What do you mean?
I figure out a way that the champion is in the Rumble, getting beat on pretty bad, and then Ziggler comes out.
But why would the champion be in the Rumble?
I don't know. It's the other champion. I don't know. Figure it out.
Why would the other champion be in the
Rumble? Figure it out. I don't care. I want to see him cash it in the middle of another match. And the Rumble is the biggest disarray one. That would be interesting. Because then you'd have to, I mean, because theoretically you can do it at any time. So you can interrupt.
To be honest with you, that's kind of a face thing, though. Because, here's what I have in mind.
To cash in the middle of a match?
Hold on. I'm not saying, like, it has to be or anything like that. It just feels like it's something that a face would do. Especially if, like, let's say, what was it, a couple years ago when Miz was WWE Champion, he wasn't in the Rumble, but Alex Riley was, and Miz was on the apron.
Okay.
During the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, usually whenever someone comes out to scout, you know, their prospective opponents, it's usually a heel.
Right.
Okay? So I'm thinking, like, that could be a way that that's there. And then something happens to where the champion gets an altercation and gets kind of beat up. And then Ziggler comes in and finishes up the job in the apron. Then there's, like, the logistics of it where, you know, the briefcase they never say anything that it can be a fall outside of a ring or anything like that. But then again, it's WWE. They only care about what rules apply at that moment.
Yeah.
So
no drinking 12 hours before a match. That one still upsets me.
I've never heard that one before.
No, that was what Chris Jericho.
I know. God, Stone Cold.
I know, Stone Cold.
He would be screwed so bad. And Shawn Michaels back in the day. Holy crap.
So, yeah.
12 hours, man. They were drinking 12 minutes.
Mid-match.
Mid-match.
Excuse me. Somebody throw me 12 beers.
Yep. It would be interesting. There would be a big pause in the Rumble match itself.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, the crowd's going to erupt. All the focus is going to be on Ziggler. You know.
Yeah.
So, but then again, you know, there's spots in the Rumble where there are those pauses.
Rumble's a long match. You can't have
an
hour plus of sheer intensity.
This is also the match where they had Rikishi and Too Cool start doing dance numbers in the middle of it. So,
yeah,
it could happen.
You had Sokka versus Cobra last year.
Right. Find a way, have someone like, and again, this would work better if let's say Big Show had the belt. He got the belt back from Del Rio Rumble, which would be funny for Del Rio because he has these ridiculous short championship runs.
Yeah.
Have something where Big Show interferes with whoever, like, let's say, like, two or three people that are in the match at that point. They, like, he beats them up and he eliminates them even though he's not in the match, whatever. So he's kind of tired or whatever, and Ziggler comes out and takes care of it there. That way no one else is really in the match, because that's never happened before. We had this, like, a dead space where everyone's been eliminated, or everyone that was in the ring has been eliminated, but yet there's still more picks to come.
Yeah.
You
just kind of waiting for the
right
clock to count down.
Because we've had moments where two guys essentially eliminate each other.
Yeah.
You know, so.
The other thing that you could do is have them wait out the year. And, you know, something like, oh, time's run out. I got to cash this in.
God, I would hate that for Ziggler, though.
I would. But, you know, I don't know. It would be interesting to have them cash it in on the night that would mark the year, so they have to win their match in by, like, 9 o'clock or whatever.
right?
Whenever to hit the year mark exactly.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting way to do that.
Yeah,
and that's the thing is, you know, WWE forever has to have something new that has never been seen before, or at least not in the past 7 years.
Right, because they never had anyone hold on to the briefcase the entire year.
Right.
All right.
So, those would be the two ways to make it different. Because now that you're having two briefcases a year, and everybody, save for Cena and one other person announced, who announced, but no, their intentions. Was it RVD?
Yeah.
So, that was the only two have announced. And, I mean, this year, Cena was the first person to ever lose. So,
right.
That could be your unique, never-before-happened thing for this year.
Sure.
But whoever wins it in July...
You know what? Screw it. Ziggler's going to cash in at WrestleMania. Never seen it happen.
Never seen that happen.
Big, it would be a huge moment. Be a big jump... You know, jump-off point for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean... Yeah, we never
have
seen...
But WrestleMania is not a lot of unexpected stuff happens at WrestleMania.
This would be a way to change that.
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because that, you know, WrestleMania is, you know, where it's the end. You've waited for everything. You know what was unexpected that happened at WrestleMania? A double countout that The Rock restarted the match and then took out Cena. That was unexpected.
Yeah, good point.
So, and here's the thing. Anything that wasn't WrestleMania, I would have been more okay with that.
Right.
But it was WrestleMania, and I paid WrestleMania money to see a WrestleMania moment.
Right.
And I saw the end of
Raw. Right, because it seems like anything that they use unexpectedly, or quote-unquote unexpectedly, at WrestleMania, stuff that's not part of the normal, it's usually stuff that we saw coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Like Brock interfering, because we knew Brock.
We knew something was going to happen.
Right, Brock was going to be... in that match and somehow, some way, at some point.
And it was something you didn't want to see. And not that you didn't want to see, because you were, at that point, you were happy to see Rock and Cena. It was an interesting idea, but...
They used an entire WrestleMania as a setup for the next WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how much bullcrap that is? I would want, if I had actually paid for WrestleMania that year, I would so badly... wanted my money back.
Yeah. It's a dark time.
That was a dark time. The best thing about WrestleMania that year, still, to me, in my opinion, best thing about that WrestleMania was the stage. It was a nice stage. I thought it was really slick. I the big giant screen at the back, I thought that was really simple and really classy.
No, best thing about WrestleMania that year was the Hate Me Now promo by The Miz. God,
okay.
The Miz's video package that year?
Alright, fair enough.
God,
that followed that up with a... obviously Atlanta-based choir get booed out of the arena just because they're singing for Cena.
Yeah.
Cena panders so badly at WrestleMania. Like, whatever's local, it's usually he'll try to throw that in for some entrance flair.
Yeah.
Freaking Tommy Guns at Chicago because, you know, that's all Chicago's known for is those 1920 gangsters.
Yeah, that was cool, though. I like that. I like that one, and I like the 50 Cena's.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, like
that. I don't even get why they even did that. Like, I don't get the reason behind that.
I don't know.
Just for the visual?
Sure.
Sure.
It's better than the mini concert that played before each of their entrances, and poor Cena had to sit there for 5 minutes while The Rock's...
No, they gave him some glow sticks.
Seriously?
Like he's one of the girls that was screaming for Flo Rida.
God.
That's how you say it, right? Florida?
God, that bums me out.
He came out on a Tron bike. Hooray!
Yeah. Oh, man. All right,
but see, I mean, that's something that they... It's not unprecedented that they have music acts for entrance music at... For entrances at WrestleMania.
I don't care for it.
You don't care for it?
I don't care for it.
What if Living Color played Cults of Personality for WrestleMania? That would be kind of boss.
Yeah, I'd like that.
See, exactly. Because Living Color is fantastic.
Yeah. So when they get Living Color, that's totally different than getting Flo Rida.
And to this day, I'm surprised that they never got Alter Bridge to come out and do Edge's entrance.
Yeah.
I always got surprised with that because it's not very select few guys get like actual big songs slash big bands to play their entrance music.
That's still something like I wouldn't love, you know. Cult of Personality is one of the very few things where, like, if it comes on the radio, I'm like, yay, this song.
Right.
You know, a few things, I like...
Even before punk, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Before punk had it, I was so giddy when that was on Guitar Hero that one year.
Yeah, no. Like that, and when Undertaker did Johnny Cash, those are the only songs where I was...
They could have got Johnny Cash to sing it.
No, I don't think that would have happened.
No. I think they could have managed it.
I think they could have got
a Johnny Cash hologram.
It is Ain't No Grave gonna bring my money down.
Exactly. It would have been so creepy.
To be fair.
It would have been so creepy.
Alright, I'm done. I'm done with this conversation.
The moment we talk about posthumous performances.
That's when we know we need to stop recording until there's more wrestling to talk about.
Because we're even talking about entrances and stages.
Alright.
I like the giant tarantula. From WrestleMania.
I don't remember the giant tarantula.
It was the year The Rock was the host. They had the big screen and they had like the big legs.
Maybe. Was that the one with like the holo cube that Randy Orton looks like he was holding whenever he did his YMCA thing?
Yeah.
I do remember that holo cube.
But like the entrance had like these four like little not really pillars, but they were kind of curved. And it was like there was a stage that was. I'm using hand motions because obviously because
that's riveting podcasting.
Podcasting, you can totally see me right now. They had the big screen right here. They had the ramp that came up, and then like that big staging right there, and they had like the four little legs. It reminded me of Wild Wild West.
I don't remember this, but I have that WrestleMania on DVD. I have it
on my computer right here.
I will not watch it, but. Just so you know, I have it.
No, I watch it just for the...
If I ever need to see it.
I throw that on there just to see the entrances and be like, oh, wow, the stage is so nice.
As always, you can follow us on
You don't
Twitter.
Like the staging, Joel? I love the staging. Let's talk about staging some more. I really don't think they should have used as many palm trees last year.
I'm sorry, didn't
they... Take away from the ambiance.
Didn't they once have, like, an Egyptian theme, WrestleMania? I think they're all okay from now on.
You're talking about when Bobby Heenan came in on an elephant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I did like the pyramid whenever they were in Arizona. Phoenix?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Had the big pyramid, and then the Mayans came down and killed us all.
That didn't happen, Chris, remember?
No.
All right.
Then there was that one resume with the big stuff. Okay.
Shut up.
All this is going to be edited out.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we post live during Raw and occasionally on appropriate Sundays.
If you have any questions, comments, hate mail, anything you want us to address on the show, send us your emails at classicreadingattire@gmail.com and give me some ideas on some staging. Or just what your thoughts. What do you think is the best staging at WrestleMania? And go.
We also have a Twitter, Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you'll find old episodes of this podcast and other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to us at wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
I like the weird SummerSlam one, like with the really slanty S.
But they've used it so many times. They've used it for like 3 years straight.
I know, I like
they
that.
They have the slanted like ring.
The
slanted little circle.
Like, the S, the S, I was, like, almost a line.
Right,
that,
yeah.
That I had to walk through. Yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
So, it was really early 2000s.
Oh, okay. Felt. No. I was talking about the most recent SummerSlam. So, I get what you're saying now.
Yeah, no, the one that, like, it felt like early 2000s.
I did, like, the big X for Extreme Rules this year.
Fair enough, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, we are on iTunes. So, look us up on iTunes, subscribe, you get new episodes coming direct to you every week. Give us a rating.
Five stars.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.